Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Will O'Callaghan joins us on the line now. Evening, Will.
Evening, Adrian.
You were one of the people on the Zoom call with Croke Park today, and events from Jones Road, I'm sure, will have caught people's attention over the course of the day in terms of it was to be the announcement, obviously, of the new fixtures plan and the many positives that are around all that, but overshadowed, I'm sure, by events in Monaghan.
Yeah, completely. It's only yesterday that a circular went out from the GAA, Adrian, about how they were hopeful that club games and club training would be able to return from next month. And they asked their members to hold firm between now and then. And implied in that was, let's not have any more breaches of teams going inter-county training before April the 19th. And then just mere hours later, this story breaks of an anonymous tip-off with a video file and some pictures sent to the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, claiming that Monaghan were training at the tail end of last month. It's believed to be the last week of March, which would have been even before Dublin's breach, which was in the newspapers on the front and back pages last week. So again, this is a complete and utter PR disaster. The two timings couldn't have been any worse, really, for the GAA, as they were preparing for their teams to come back en masse on the 19th of April. And Larry McCarthy, their president, admitted this afternoon that, again, this is hugely damaging quite beyond the reputation, where he said that'll have to be built back up with the public. But also, they're going to have to go back and talk to the government, because even at this point, Adrian, because of the wording earlier this month on the 4th of April around the return to play, it mentioned the league in terms of level 5 restrictions and GAA players being elite. There was no reference made about inter-county challenge games. So as things stand, Fergus McGill admitted earlier today, GAA teams are unable to have inter-county challenge matches because they're only permitted to play in the league. It was very clear wording from the government, and now they're going to get clarification around this. And also the GAA are going back to talk about their club players coming back, which is, you know, a huge sway of the people by comparison to the small amount of people that play inter-county GAA, and this hurts their negotiations.
Yeah. It's an incredible turn of events, and have we heard of the last of it? Obviously, it's one of the big questions as well that hangs over. Give us a bit of a sense of the reaction from the top, Will, at Croke Park today.
Well, look, the feeling is that, and Larry McCarthy again was asked, is it enough of a deterrent, the bans that have been handed down so far? So we've had 4 counties now in breach in various different ways. In terms of Down and Cork, they didn't happen on Gaelic Games properties, but you know, you had 12-week suspensions handed out to the managers with appeals that went along with that, and also 2 home games being lost by the counties in question. Dublin are still awaiting the full results of the inquiry that a committee are putting into their breach at Balgriffin a couple of weeks ago. And Monaghan, similarly, the investigation was opened into them by both the Gardaí and the GAA's committee around COVID-19 compliance today. So we're awaiting to see what kind of sanctions are going to be handed down, and if Dublin and Monaghan sanctions will actually be, say, in line with what happened previously with Cork and Down. Because as a lot of people have pointed out, in Down it was slightly different because the elite status was never lost in Northern Ireland for them. So technically they were actually okay to train, but they were breaking a GAA rule. So in many ways, you're talking about government rules in some cases, and you're talking about the GAA elsewhere. And like, the GAA rule is pretty clear in terms of the suspensions they've handed down to managers. It's for bringing the association into disrepute. The issue is not so much the training session itself. It's the fact that, you know, the rules which were put down by the GAA and what teams were asked to do has been skirted around by teams. And ultimately, you're not going to be looking at players who get suspended here, because when the new COVID rules were put down by the GAA at the tail end of last year for the return of play, it was very clear that sanctions would be for county boards, principally their chairman is named within that, and also the manager of teams. So there's almost like an implicit understanding when you've got both Dublin and Monaghan getting ahead of the story by banning their managers for 12 weeks, that they're accepting that the managers would have had some knowledge of the fact that these training sessions were taking place. And, you know, it's intriguing to see if the punishments are going to stop there. Will that be enough to satisfy the GAA? And Larry McCarthy, the GAA president, was also saying today, Adrian, that this kind of like the Jose Mourinho ban of a few years ago. Remember when he was sneaking into the dressing room against Barcelona in the Champions League? That the ruling is that the manager can have no... even a conversation with his team. He has to entirely step away from the team. I mean, how enforceable that actually is, I don't know. But apparently these 12-week suspensions would mean that you can have no interaction with your panel whatsoever.
And like you, the very reason that the ban is in place is because the manager, in this case, Banty McEnany, has tried to circumnavigate the law of the land in a way that gives him a sporting advantage, which... doesn't bode that well for exactly what you're talking about there. So we'll see. And I mean, you mentioned the Garda investigation, so I'm sure that can make things, obviously, can certainly turn up with the heat a little bit in terms of the disciplinary action that might exist around that as well. Let's take a clip. You mentioned Larry McCarthy, president of the GAA, talking to the media today.
Yeah,
I think it's done us reputational damage, which we're going to have to work to get back. There's no... what's the word I use today? Appetite for any breaches in society at the moment. So undoubtedly it has. But I mean, we'll continue to work to get that confidence and to get that back from the public again. And hopefully there won't be any more breaches. Okay, the 19th is a deadline for us, but I'm looking forward much more to the 26th and having kids back. And then we can show what we really do in the communities. If the breaches occur, obviously, there's a danger that they'll have an impact on us in terms of permissions that we're going to be given by government. That's the reality of it.
Like, very interesting comments. Well, hopefully there won't be any more breaches. Seems a little bit hands-off approach almost, that, like, please, can everybody hold firm here in a way that we already have evidence in a couple of very high-profile counties that's not the case. We can absolutely assume that it's been going on, certainly, in other counties, whether it's come to a halt now or not, we shall see, I'm sure, over the next few weeks. And just that point at the end, we mentioned it earlier on the show, just that he's offering the idea that we'll see what we can really do in communities when the kids can get back playing. Like, look, I mean, I don't know. Let's be very generous and say he's not offering it, but it sounds in some ways as if he's offering the great work that the GAA undoubtedly does around volunteerism and the engagement of communities and the engagement with kids, that he's offering that as some sort of a counterbalance to an elite team training. I'm assuming that's not what he's doing. It sounds a touch like it, but it certainly doesn't balance the books. A tetchy press conference, Will. You know, Larry McCarthy, new in the job as well. Obviously not that experience at having to firefight like this.
Well, look, it was only 5 days ago, Adrian, that Larry McCarthy was on Red FM at the weekend, and he mentioned that if there was another breach, it was going to put the GAA's return to play plans into question. And the end of that clip was a question that I put to Larry McCarthy about, you know, club games coming back next month, when it felt like they were so close to getting an agreement around it. It doesn't look good that they're back in the papers again. And it means that politicians like Jack Chambers, the Minister for Sport, has been speaking again about the Monaghan breach today. And it just breaks that trust about being allowed to come back, because the tone that the GAA have really set since last September or October, since there were some COVID-19 clusters after club county finals, was that they weren't going to push the agenda with the GAA anymore. It was a very different tone to when they were talking about Ronan Glynn, you know, being summoned for a meeting last summer to talk about how many people would be allowed into Croke Park. Like, within a 2-3 month period, a lot had changed. And the feeling I got was throughout the spring and all the various different briefings we had ahead of Congress this year and after Congress, was that the GAA would not be forcing the agenda. They would only come back when there was government support to do so. And even when they were asked this afternoon, you know, about the potential of fans being back in with the All-Ireland finals being in August, and given that a lot of the country should be vaccinated by then, even then the GAA were saying that's entirely down to a government decision. We won't be looking to influence any kind of policy. We'll wait and see what public health officials say.
Yeah.
So they've been incredibly careful about this. And the two breaches haven't helped. And I'm sure for Larry McCarthy, he must have been really annoyed on a personal level that he thought there's going to be no more news of breaches. And next thing on Thursday morning, the story is back in the newspaper again.
Yeah, well, look, and there comes a point where they need to take action on that, and that the 12-week ban for the manager isn't going to be enough. I mean, I don't know what shape that takes. Potentially it's you got to sit out the league, or there's something maybe a bit more severe. I don't know where they go with it, but I think it starts to come into sharp focus now. I don't think that they can... You mentioned about him having been on with Valerie Wheeler you know, after the Dublin ban, and that, you know, we can't stand for this any longer. Like, but you got to put some action behind that at some point. So we'll see how that goes. Plenty of reaction coming in, Will, as you might imagine, around this over the course of the evening. Lads, do any of you actually believe that only four GA counties have breached the regulations? Also, can anyone say they've not reached the rules at some point? Asks Killian in Monaghan. I mean, I guess there's a difference between going 6K to take a walk on the beach because you need to clear your head, and a gathering of 25 people to try and get a sporting edge in GAA.
The sporting edge is pretty crucial to this, Adrian, I think, as well. You know, there's plenty of evidence that there's very little transmission of COVID-19 out in the open air. And a lot of people who've argued against this over the last week or so have said, look, what's the harm really about the fact that they're out taking part in a session? They're going to be back playing competitive games in a few weeks' time. COVID-19 won't respect the fact that it's April 19th as opposed to April the 2nd. But the point is that they are trying to circumvent the sporting rules currently. And if we're kind of accepting that every team do so, the GAA have no chance whatsoever when they're trying to impose these new rules later this year, where potentially teams would be asked to only train three times a week and also have a defined close season. If they're trying to break the rules in the middle of a pandemic, you can be guaranteed the teams will try and break the rules later this year. It's just human nature, really.
Yeah, yeah. And the science conversation is an interesting one, and yet slightly different from this type of a conversation. And and we leave that on experts better than you and I, Will, who know that stuff far better than I do. And there's plenty of opinions out about there that people can pick up on as well. There was some great news from the GAA today as well. People can head along to otbsports.com to get the full details of the fixture list that have been announced. It was supposed to be the story of the day, obviously, but we are getting Gaelic games back, and it's great news. It's a really positive thing. Well, we are genuinely and deeply looking forward to the return of it as well. Slightly curtailed games, albeit, but upcoming over the next few months. Will, thanks for all that.
Cheers, Adrian.
Thanks a lot. Will O'Callaghan on the line there, just to give us a bit of a sense of what was going on at Croke Park today. As I said, if you want more details around the fixtures list, we would have spent the full 10, 12 minutes talking about that if the other issue hadn't been on the agenda. But there we go. If you have any thoughts, comments about it, please do keep them coming into us. We'll bring those to our audience before the end of the show. But that's it. We're back after these.
The OTB Podcast Network.